happened. No one anticipated, well, very few people anticipated 9/11. I mean, that was, I remember when it happened, I was at dive school, and I was a little more savvy because I had been to Central Asia, but most people were like, you know, this was very unexpected. Nowadays, you just don't know, and I think one of the things is you if you don't have that fire in you anymore, then you got a problem, and the military is not the right place for you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the VMI Leader Journey titled Be Vigilant. I'm your host, Major Catherine Roy of the Center for Leadership and Ethics. My guests are Scott Spellmeyer, VMI Class of 1990, and Colonel Justin Sapp, VMI Class of 1994, who both participated in a panel discussion as part of our Courageous Leadership Speaker Series held on February 18th earlier this year. Both Spellmeyer and Sapp were part of Team Alpha, the first U.S. mission behind enemy lines in Afghanistan after the 9/11 terrorist attacks. Other panelists included Dave Tyson, linguist and CIA agent, and Toby Harnden, author of First Casualty, which detailed the historic account. Find a link to the panel discussion on YouTube in the description below. During the panel discussion, Sapp said to the audience, "I was just 6 or 7 years out of VMI graduation when I was faced with this mission assigned to Team Alpha." He told the cadets, "Be vigilant. You guys are the vanguards of the United States." Let's get into today's episode. Welcome to Scott Spellmeyer, class of 1990, and Colonel Justin Sapp, class of 1994. Both of you were part of Team Alpha, the first U.S. mission into Afghanistan right after 9/11. We've just concluded the panel discussion, so I hope our audience will check that out. I'll have a link in the description of the podcast so that people can check that out and hear that great talk. And you'll be able to see all the images, the PowerPoint slides that you guys provided, which was great to help visualize the context and what you all were dealing with, and some of the characters, too, that you had to engage with. So we won't rehash necessarily what you went over in the panel discussion. For the VMI Leader Journey podcast, what we like to do is bring you guys, the alumni, back to post and talk to specifically our cadets about your leadership journey, starting with your cadetship and on through your career. Our leadership theme for this year is citizen leaders, and so both of you are just ideal candidates to be talking on the subject about your leadership journey. So Scott, why don't you go first and just tell us a little bit about, you know, what brought you to VMI, what kind of things you did here, and then how that served you maybe going forward in your career.
Sure. So as I mentioned earlier, I came from upstate New York, from the Albany area. Since I was knee-high to a grasshopper, I wanted to be a commando in the Army. And I had a teacher in high school who recommended I look at VMI, and he had been a former Army Ranger in Vietnam. And so I applied to VMI, and when I called VMI, I was so excited. I got this great, you know, book, you know, about, this is way before the internet was over. Yeah, it was just fantastic, and they had me hook, line, and sinker, and I never saw this place until matriculation day. And so I did 4 years. I was not an academic, although I tried. You know, I graduated with a history degree. I think it was a 2.6 9, and I studied really hard for that, 2.69, and I took statistics, I think, twice or three times, and chemistry twice or three times, but I had a great experience, Army ROTC.
You know, and you connected with your, with the faculty member.
Absolutely, yeah, Sergeant Major Kent, so I had a great run. I was in the VMI Running Club. We actually started the Running Club during my time.
Oh, nice.
And that really helped. You know, running marathons helps you to be a better commando later by being able to go the distance. So yeah, did the running club, Army ROTC, finished up as the battalion, you know, XO, was commissioned to infantry, thankfully. And I encourage all the cadets that if they're going to go in the Army or the Marine Corps or whatever they choose to do, if it's uniform services, do something hard. It's where the best leaders are. It's where the best leadership training is. And if you just do 4 years or you stay for 20 or longer, is do something hard. So I went in the infantry, did the standard, you know, pipeline, officer basic course, Ranger School, Pathfinder, and some other courses. And then, you know, went through, my first battalion commander was in 101st, Lieutenant Colonel Dave Petraeus, who of course became General Petraeus. And then, you know, went to eventually 3rd Ranger Battalion, 1st Cavalry Division Command, and then Ranger Regiment. Then I applied for the agency, and fortunately the agency, I didn't think they'd hire me, and I'm glad to this day they gave me a pass and hired me.
Now, what age were you when you entered the agency?
I was like, I think around 30, 31, mm-hmm. 31. So I was like a sort of a, I guess, senior captain at the point. So what did VMI do for me? It's a great question, an important one. For any success I may have had to date in my life, it's because of two reasons. One, my parents, and two, the Virginia Military Institute. VMI absolutely has set me up for success. And it taught me, you know, all the key leadership traits, integrity, character, physical and mental toughness, you know, the ability to take the pain and to push through.
The cadets like to call it embrace the suck.
Embrace the suck is exactly right. How to work as a team, how to be a follower, how to be a leader. And so just a quick story, when I showed up to my first unit in 101st, I had a platoon sergeant, Sergeant First Class Hayes, who was promoted to Master Sergeant like 6 months later. So he was a very senior non-commissioned officer. And it was very formal that first day. Sir, good to meet you. My name is Sergeant First Class Hayes. You know, this is our platoon command post. This is your desk. This is my desk. There was a lot of quiet times when we were both in the office. And I was like, in my head, I was like, oh, this doesn't appear to be going so well on the first day. And so anyways, I kept quiet, kept doing my thing. And at the end of the day, he looked at me and he said, sir, where'd you go to school? I said, VMI. There was a pause and he said, we're gonna get along just fine. And that is really epitomizes my career, because VMI is a known quantity, mm-hmm. and VMI officers are respected and as leaders, and that counts. So I'm grateful.
Oh, excellent. How about you, Justin?
Well, so my story with VMI starts, I think, my junior year of high school. So I went to high school in Marietta, Georgia, Pope High School. I went to a college seminar at Oglethorpe University, I think, and I remember passing a desk, a display case kind of desk, and there was an individual from VMI there and handing out brochures, and I was like, wow, this sounds really cool. I was very interested in the military, and so this really appealed to me. Then I went to a VMI alum event within a month or two of that. And I remember there was a officer there, a VMI alum, who was a Special Forces officer. And we were talking about that. And I thought, wow, you know, that's what I want to do. Like Scott, I got to be candid with you. I had no other ambitions other than to be in the military. It was either going to be the Army or the Marine Corps, period. That was it. And I knew that from a very early age. So it was just a matter of which propaganda I was going to buy off on, for lack of a word. And so I applied to VMI, and you know, I was delighted to be accepted. I think I applied to the Citadel too. I didn't apply to very many schools. I was very much like, you know, interested in a military career. And so I came, and it was tough. Rat year was tough, as everybody, as it should be. And I think that really the camaraderie bit, the loyalty in the ethos that you sacrifice for your brother rats, was the biggest takeaway. Because as much as you say you learn that kind of ethos in high school through team sports, there's no way to replicate what VMI does. And so that was probably the most important value I took out of it, that all else fails, you can count on the bonds that you've built with these people through which you've endured this challenge. And so I really value that. And to this very day, that is probably the, other than my education, of course, the most important thing I've taken away. I kind of ebbed and flowed academically. My first year I did really well. I kind of did a slump in my third class year, and then I kind of recovered in my junior and senior year. I was a little bit of a late bloomer in terms of like leadership. I don't think I was really ambitious in terms of cadet leadership. looking back on it. But I knew I was going to the Army, and I said, you know, hey, this will set me up for a career in the Army. I've learned a lot. ROTC was great. In fact, I just ran into him today, Colonel Mark Bryant, who at the time was a major in ROTC, played a major role and was very influential in a positive way in endearing me to the Army and to a career in the military. And then there was also Sergeant Major Billy Goodson, who came in, I think, around 91, late 91, early 92. SF Sergeant Major, very influential. I said, I want to be like those guys. And so that was my goal at the time. And I went forward. I was commissioned in Armor. And like Scott, I think that combat arms, in my view, if you're going to join the Army, that's kind of naturally where you should go. That's the core of the military. And I wasn't disappointed. I had a good time in Armor. I did a tour in Korea. I did a tour in the 82nd when they had tanks. We don't have that anymore. That was a very good unit, 373 Armor. And then from there, I transitioned. I went to SF Selection. Fortunately, that worked out. And then I was assigned to 5th Special Forces Group. And from there, I spent, with the exception of my time detailed at the CIA, I was pretty much in the SF career kind of pipeline command, you know, doing your command and staff positions as you go up. And I'm still in, and I love the Army. I'm probably getting close to retiring here in the next year, but I've never regretted my time at VMI, the education and what VMI gave to me, imbued in me, and that set me up for being a leader in the Army. And that is something that you don't get at any most other schools, quite frankly.
So both of you talked about how VMI set you up for success in your later careers. Was there anything that, any anecdotes that kind of strike you as something that really served you well?
I actually joined the Army when I was 17. So this was during the Reagan days, and I bought it hook, line, and sinker, Team America. And so as soon as I could join the Army Reserve, I joined as a senior in high school, and then was like a private for like the year. And then when I graduated on a Friday, that Monday I went to basic training, went to Army basic training, and then from basic training I went to a Grateful Dead show with my friends, and then like 2 days later showed up at VMI. And then they let me go with the reserves, because back in those days you didn't have like a reserve, you know, National Guard program. And so they let me go, and I knew they would let me go. So I went because I wanted to prepare myself for VMI. After the first week, you know, of cadre week, you know, I had a chance to call home to my father. And, you know, to put it mildly, I was distressed when my father got on the phone. And he went to dad mode immediately, like, oh, okay, walk out of there, jump on a bus, and come home. And I'm calling Syracuse and University of Rhode Island, and we'll get you in. And
he was going to hook you up somewhere else.
He's like, get out of there, man. And I said, I remember I was counseling my dad. I'm like, what, 18 at the time? I said, Dad, you're supposed to tell me to man up.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, no way, man, leave there. It's you're out of there. And I said, nope, can't do it. And
well, good for you.
And so, but that's a key part of the VMI experience, is some people will come here, they'll think they'll want the VMI experience, and for whatever reason, they won't make it. And some will be for academic reasons, and others will be, you know, because of attrition, and frankly, because they quit. And if one thing that VMI teaches you beyond integrity is never quit. And that is a key to success. And I don't care if that's the military, I don't care if that's civilian service in the government, or working in corporate America, you're gonna face hardships. And you know, the question is how do you handle it? And quitting ain't the answer if you're from VMI.
So how would you decide if your perspective of how you're handling hardships is the perseverance that you need to get through? How do you decide when to go through that storm? And how do you decide, you know what, this isn't my storm?
For me, I was fortunate. I always knew what I wanted to do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think
oh, so
Justin
you had the goal in mind.
Yeah, and so I was on a one-way trip to serve in America and being the best commando I could be. And I remember when I was getting ready to leave when I was graduating the infantry officer basic course and was going to Ranger school, I called my father again. I said, okay, I'm getting ready to go to Ranger school. And my grandfather was pretty sick at the time. And my dad said, well, you know, if your grandfather passes away, you know, I'll get word to the Army and you know, you can come home. And I said, Dad, you know, with all the love for Gramps, I said, the only way I'm coming out of Ranger School is with my dad or dead, period. And he said, wow, that's pretty brutal. I said, you're damn right. This is business and we're not playing around.
Hmm.
That's just the kind of mentality, mm-hmm. you know, in some walks of life. You don't need that, I think, to be a dentist or something necessarily, right. but for me, that's...
I don't know, molars can be pretty...
Exactly, you know, you never know. You know?
It can be pretty intimidating.
So that's just my experience, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, great. And how about, so that kind of leads me to another question. Was there a moment then in your relationship with your dad after all of this that he was like, you know, I get it now. I get why you did this and...
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Several moments.
Mm-hmm.
Dad's a true believer. He gets it. Yeah, so.
That's good.
Yeah.
How about you, Justin?
So, for me, it was interesting. You know, I had a very, for lack of a better word, I mean, my azimuth was pretty much set. I knew what I was doing. My dad had incidentally been a CIA case officer, so I grew up in that kind
of environment. And he had, I'm sorry to interrupt you, didn't he have a relationship with the Team Alpha leader or new J.R. Seeger?
He had been his instructor in the
yeah.
course. I didn't find that out until like the very end of the whole deployment.
Justin's dad had a big reputation in the Alpha.
Yeah, he was not the instructor to draw.
He was a player. He was a great officer. Mm-hmm.
He was going to put you through your paces,
he was
huh?
a mean instructor. So, and every once in a while I bump into people of the right age group. The mid 80s vintage who will go, oh yeah. So, but anyway, so my dad, you know, I grew up in that kind of world, moving around a lot, which is very analogous to the military, quite frankly. But we had some tough ones, you know, and I like to think I was pretty resilient as a kid. But VMI added that whole another level of resilience that they'll call it resilience now in the Army. That's what the kind of the term is. But that is not something to discount, and I really think the ethos of, because the military is it prepares you for in extremis situations, unlike civilian life. So everything is kind of set in this in extremis framework, and VMI does a very good job of preparing people for that kind of stress level. It's the stress inoculation, sometimes it's referred to, and I've been through a series of these things throughout my life. And I got to say, VMI was the foundation that prepared me. So I had a benchmark of, okay, this is what, you know, how tired you can become. This is how psychologically stressed you can become. And that, I think, prepared me well for a lot of other events as I went forward, to include, you know, Ranger School, like Scott, you know, I went to Ranger School. That was tough, don't get me wrong. And then, you know, all these Q course, dive school. But you could always reference that benchmark and go, well, I was able to do that, and this is not as bad as that, or it's equivalent, and I, you know, I know I can make it through it. And so you don't, quitting is never really an option. It's just a matter of how, you know, stoically you endure it, and how you emerge with some personal honor, I think, is that's another thing here that you have, a value you have imbued in you, is that, you know, your personal honor is, you control that. And how you deal with adversity is your choice. You know, that's your choice. The adversity is external, but you control the internal bit. And I always felt like, no matter how bad it is, okay, you're not the honor graduate of Ranger School, whatever your aim was, you still graduated and you still comported yourself with honor. And I felt like, you know, I always knew I could probably have done something different or maybe better, but I felt like I had got there with honor, and that was something that VMI imparted in me.
So talk about that for just a minute, because we have talked over the past couple of years, from time to time, we've touched on that topic through our annual leadership theme about honorable behavior, and that's part of the new superintendent's, his five outcomes. One of them is character and honorable behavior. What we talk about here at the center is really our role is to help influence character development. And so we can only hope at best to influence those things. And of course, as you guys have the experiential learning that happens here on post, then you have an opportunity to exercise them. But what does honorable behavior mean to you, and how specifically maybe that was challenged here at VMI?
So there's a host of facets to that question, of course. I would say that one component of it is the selflessness, dedication to your brother rats, your peers, right? That's a huge value that, you know, you're supposed to be utterly selfless. And they reinforce that, at least when I went through, over and over again. If one of your BRs was pulled aside and getting in trouble because his rap Bible was stolen, you name it, you all were expected to march in solidarity and help him regain whatever it was that he needed to regain. That's not something you can... I've never seen that really replicated anywhere other than in the military at VMI. Ranger School, Q course, that kind of stuff. But it's, you know, that's something that VMI teaches you, this sort of dedication to your peers and in their welfare and their success is equal to or superior to yours. And that's something you don't see in life on a regular basis. You just don't. And that is extremely important because in the military, I mean, not to be hyperbolic, but I mean, you're there essentially giving your life, and there's honor in subordinating yourself to something greater, whether it's the nation, your unit, your peers, your teammates. You know, if you're a commander, your command, that is more important than you as an individual. And that is something that VMI does a very good job of layering. You learn that early on. Mm-hmm.
First mindset.
Yeah.
And so they start with that class system bonding.
Yeah, that's the fundamental building block of the military. I mean, short of combat, the only way you build that is through shared hardship, whether it's through physical events or stressful events, like trying to, you know, regain your class's honor or something like that vis-a-vis the upperclassmen. All those are exercises in how to build that cohesion and that solidarity, and you can't really replicate that very easily. VMI does a good job of it, though.
You know, step one of leadership is set the example for others to follow. And that is integrity. That is, you know, honor. That is character. And whether you're a first-line supervisor in a U.S. corporation or a first lieutenant in the United States Marine Corps, you are on parade every day, 24/7. And so if you're going to set the tone in your unit or your office, the tone begins with you and how you conduct yourself. And
So the quote that I was referencing is from you, Justin, that you were just 6 or 7 years out of VMI's graduation and you were faced with this mission assigned to Team Alpha. And so you told the cadets, be vigilant. You guys are the vanguards of the United States. So I think that does speak to that honor.
Quote.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I think the key is that it's easy to get lackadaisical because you got to remember when I came in the Army and Scott too, you know, you came in right as the Cold War was ending. I came in, the Cold War's over, and we were doing things that, you know, were not the same as the mentality of the say the mid-80s, right? And so it was kind of easy to, and there was Somalia and stuff like that but those were outliers and only a select few experienced that. But it's very easy to go, well, you know, the world is kind of at peace and you're never gonna have to do your job. And now that I've been around a while and I've seen foreign militaries, I realized that one of the unique things about the U.S. is that you're in a leadership position in the military, you realize that one day you may be called upon to do your job, for real. And that kind of drives you, and if you need to keep that fire lit inside of you, because you never know what's going to happen. No one anticipated, well, very few people anticipated 9/11. I mean, I remember when it happened, I was at dive school, and I was a little more savvy because I'd been to Central Asia, but most people were like, you know, this was very unexpected. Nowadays, you just don't know. And I think one of the things is you if you don't have that fire in you anymore, then you got a problem. And the military is not the right place for you. You got to keep that fire going. And I'll give you a last example. You know, you got to also know the time and read the zeitgeist or whatever you want to call it of the time. And I'll give you an example. When we were there in Karshikhanabad, I don't know if Scott remembers this, but we were busy, we were doing our thing, getting ready. And there was a briefing to the 5th Group Commander by one of the SF ODAs. They were going to be the first ODA on the ground in Afghanistan. That trail was illuminated for them. And they went in there, they communicated to the commander, who was under a tremendous amount of stress, all the way up from Rumsfeld was calling him directly, that they were not confident in X, Y, and Z, and they started asking questions that the only answer at that time was, sir, we're ready to complete this mission. And they were fired on the spot. And quite frankly, that was deserved, because at that time, what you need are vigilant people.
Yeah, no time to hem and haw.
And it's never going to be a perfect textbook solution. You're never going to get, 90 days notice. Hey, you got to get ready. It's just going to happen, and you're either ready or you aren't.
So can I just touch on that? So
yeah,
you touched on this in the earlier session, but that exact situation, I remember it distinctly, that's what I refer to as put up or shut up time.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
And when that ODA commander and that team sergeant and their guys were on the X in front of the commander, they whiffed. And so that's for any cadets that may be listening, and anyone that's going into the national security operational field, that could be with the military, that could be with the agency or other three-letter organizations. It's one thing, your time is coming. Your Baston, your Fallujah, your Wanat, your day's coming, and uniform or civilian. And the question is you got to ask yourself is, when the chips are down, how do you want to be remembered? And I refer to that as because I'm a Ranger Regiment, alum. And so that's my crew and from the military. And we call it the six stands of time. And the six stands of the Ranger Creed is, you probably remember, rarely without a display of the intestinal fortitude required to fight on the Ranger objective and complete the mission, though I be the lone survivor. And that is everything. That means when you get on an aircraft and rotors are turning, and if it goes south, it goes south. And you get in that vehicle and you're gonna go down that road that's been inundated with IEDs every day, multiple times a day, and you know it could be your last run. But you get in the vehicle and you do the mission, because that's your job and that's it. So put up or shut up time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was another quote that I got from you. I actually tweeted that out.
Yeah. Oh, tweet.
Well, yes.
I don't have Twitter, so the cadets are laughing now.
I did try to tag you, but your name did not come up.
I broke out on LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn, but I haven't gotten a Twitter.
If I get time, I'll be able to repurpose that content over on the other platforms.
That's funny.
But that's another question that I have from having read the book. It's interesting to me that what you talked about, the unconventional warfare and being in this new terrain, basically. I mean, we'd been to Iraq, we'd been to the Middle East, but was this a different environment from those environments? And thinking forward, is there a way, is each new terrain that action happens, is that a new learning process for military organizations? And what kind of leadership skills, can keep you fairly resilient to being able to adapt quickly?
I think you have to be kind of an open-minded person, and you have to be someone who embraces new challenges and you seek those out, because honestly, the history of warfare it's somewhat cliche, but it is true that we're always fighting the last war. So when I went through ROTC training, it was very much a light infantry paradigm that had been derived mainly from Vietnam. And those TTPs were great, and that was a way of developing leadership. But the next war is not going to be like the last war, and I think that leaders need to be open-minded and willing to learn, and also be curious people. I think one thing I really love about Dave Tyson, he's like an incredibly curious person. That's why he's learned so much about these cultures. And then we think about it. We went into Afghanistan. It wasn't a new environment for the CIA, but it was one that had been put on the back burner. And all of a sudden, a new crop of people come in who weren't of that mid-80s era, for the most part, with the exception of JR and maybe Alex. And we had to learn a new environment. We didn't have the language skills. We were not prepared. We didn't even have the maps. And the only way you can overcome that is to go, I accept this challenge, and I'm going to do my best, but I'm not going to say no, and I'm not going to sort of believe that you can't. Because one thing nowadays, I with all the modern technology, I think sometimes there's this belief that I need X, Y, and Z to be successful. And that's not necessarily the case. When we went in, I mean, if you compare what we had then with now, I mean, it's almost laughable. And it's more about your mentality and your willingness to accept new challenges and be a learner, you know, learn something new. And everybody on that team had that ethos, and that was why we were successful.
Mm-hmm. And learn how to ride a horse.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, that's
that flexibility there comes in play.
There's a difference when you ride for, you know, 30 minutes at a farm and then, you know, 8 hours.
Or the pony ride. Who was it that mentioned?
Dave, yeah.
And you mentioned, too, as one of the things cadets should look for is really to focus on languages.
Yes.
That's a big weakness.
Mm-hmm. Huge. Whether corporate America, right, if you're going to do international work or, you know, certainly, you know, DOD, like in special forces, I mean, it's huge, you know. But then also in the three-letter organizations, language is critical. And I would encourage cadets, if they have a natural ability with language, then they should jump on that and get all over it. Because if they're interested in doing any of those three things I just mentioned, language skills are the key, especially if you want to get hired. If you want to get hired by the Central Intelligence Agency, you need to separate yourself significantly from everybody else.
So is it a case where if you know one foreign language and you're good with it, you can switch to another one and that's what you're looking for? Because who knows where a mission's going to be and what language you need to know, right?
Oh, we know where the mission's going to be.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, it's called Mandarin Chinese.
Ah, yeah.
And if you get 4 or 5 level in Mandarin, then feel free to learn Russian, and then Arabic would be nice. Mm-hmm. But Mandarin Chinese is the way to go, because that is the most significant strategic threat facing America, and it's serious.
Yeah. All right, well, gentlemen, thank you so much for your time.
Any closing
thoughts that you have that you want to give a shout out to the cadets of helping them to persevere? You know, the rats just broke out.
I was just going to say congratulations to the rats, 25-25-25, and we're proud of you, and good luck to the first class as they finish up here at the Institute. And then by all means, get after it. Whatever you choose to do, be the best.
Excellent. That's definitely honorable behavior. And thanks again to Colonel Justin Sapp and Spellmeyer, Class 90. Just thank you for your time. Thank you for your service and your perseverance that you started learning and putting into practice here at VMI and that served you well throughout your careers. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate the time today.
Thank you.
On behalf of the VMI Center for Leadership and Ethics, we thank the following: Mr. Caleb Minus, VMI Class of 2020, for the intro and backing music. Find more of his musical stylings on his Instagram page, at MinusOfficial. That's at MYNUS Official. Colonel Dave Gray, PhD, U.S. Army retired, Director of the VMI Center for Leadership and Ethics. And of course, as always, our podcast guests. Find this podcast and other CLE programming information on the VMI Center for Leadership and Ethics website, vmi.edu/CLE. Follow the VMI Center for Leadership and Ethics on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, or Instagram accounts. The VMI Center for Leadership and Ethics educates, engages, and inspires the VMI Corps of Cadets, VMI staff, faculty, and alumni, and listeners like you. Thanks for tuning in.